Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
All right, I want to open today with a question. How many of you are on social media? I'm talking Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok. According to a recent study, actually over 80% of all adults are on social media, so I'm assuming most of you are. If you're under 30, that number is actually over 90%. So it's pretty safe to assume that just about everyone watching today is engaged with social media, and that includes me. I was an early adopter with social media. I've been on social media all the way back since 2008. Danny and I, we were moving to South Carolina to start Wellspring. And honestly, I figured that it would be a great way to reconnect with some of my old friends. And it actually gave me a platform to talk about what I believe God wanted us to do here. And so back in 08, man, I jumped in. I got on Facebook. I joined Twitter actually early enough to get my actual name as my Twitter handle. I joined LinkedIn, which I've now dropped because it made no sense to me. I actually started blogging there for a while, which is something else I've stopped doing. But I was all in on social media. And honestly, I've been all in ever since. I still use Twitter and Instagram almost every day. I like Twitter for news and for sports. I use Instagram to follow friends, to share updates about the church. And when I say I use these platforms, I mean I use them a lot. I actually have a Twitter app that stays open on my laptop most of the time. I have both Twitter and Instagram on the first page of my phone. And honestly, I open those two apps about as much as I open anything else on my phone. Now, I tell you all that up front because as we continue today, it may sound like I personally disapprove of social media. And it may sound like I think you shouldn't be on social media, or that I think your kids shouldn't be on social media, and that we should all flee social media. And I'm telling you, that is not at all the case. In fact, I think social media might be one of the greatest inventions of the 21st century because it's created a place and a platform for the voiceless. It's allowed social movements to take hold, and it's led to change. I believe that social media is an amazing tool when properly understood and properly leveraged. Here at Wellspring, we use social media all the time. We use it to share updates, to give information. We use it to connect. So again, before we go any further today, please hear me. The last thing you should think is that we disapprove of social media. That is not the point of the series that we're starting today that I'm so excited about, because the topic we're starting today isn't really even about social media. It's about us, and it's about how we engage with social media. It's about how we think about social media, how we interact with it, how we allow it to affect us, how much of it we let into our lives, and how much of our lives we share with others. See, what I want us to do starting today is just ask a question. I want us to step back and look at what we are doing on social media and simply ask a question. Is this best? Are we using it properly? And if so, great. And if not, let's make some changes over the next few weeks. And here's why this matters. More than almost any other technological advancement of the past two decades, social media has changed the way we both consume and disseminate information. We share our lives, we read about others, we get news, we cheer, we cry, we laugh, we fight. And without realizing it, for most people, social media has become a vital component to our daily lives. Did you know that the average American spends 2.5 hours a day on some social media platform? And the younger you are, the higher that number goes. For teenagers, are you ready for this? The average is almost 9 hours a day. Now, that's a lot of time on a platform. It's a lot of time reading, sharing, posting, liking, looking, and it's every single day. Now, think about it. What else or who else do you spend 2 to 9 hours a day focusing all your attention on? Maybe your job, possibly your spouse, maybe your kids, but probably not every single day. See, for many people, more of our time is spent engaging with social media than with anything else in our lives on a daily basis. And we do it without even thinking about it because it's a good way to unwind, because it distracts us from work, because it keeps us engaged with other people in the world. See, most of us believe that we're spending time on social media because we think it helps us connect. And that would be all fine and good if that were the reason social media existed. But it's not. See, for all its promises about connection, social media exists for one purpose. And it's the reason all businesses exist, to make money. And look, in no way am I saying that's a bad thing. We live in a capitalistic country. Capitalism is the best model we've been able to come up with on earth to grow a prosperous nation. And a company's goal is to make money. And as companies compete, they have to make better products at lower prices, and that benefits everyone. Look, it's been the cornerstone of our economy from the beginning of our nation. But most of the time, we know what's happening, and we choose to willingly participate in it. For example, Ford and Chevrolet are two car manufacturers. They both make cars. They both want us to buy their cars, so they try to make them better. They try to make them cheaper. They create beautiful stores with huge lots full of cars where we can go look at their products. They have men and women at these stores ready to tell us about the advantages of their cars over the competition. They have the ability to negotiate a price just for us to help sweeten the deal. When we go to a car dealership, we know what's coming. But unless we work there, no one spends 2 to 9 hours a day hanging out at a car dealership, because that's not what a car dealership is for. It's a place to go buy something. And we know that their goal when we're there at the dealership is to sell us a car. And not just a car, but their car, their product. So we go in a little guarded. We've probably done our research. We know what we should pay for the car. We know what we can afford. When we go to a car dealership, we're aware that a transaction is taking place, or at least they hope a transaction is going to take place. Same with a jewelry store, same with a clothing store, same with a grocery store. They have a product that they want us to buy, and we know how to act accordingly. And I know what you're thinking, but social media companies don't sell me anything. And you're right. Social media companies give us a platform for free. But they are still corporations, and they make billions of dollars a year. Now, have you ever thought about how? I mean, think about it. If they give the product away for free, how do they make money? Well, the answer to that question is the reason we're talking about this today. And the answer doesn't mean that we should stop using social media. But the answer does mean that we might need to change the way we engage with social media. And at minimum, the answer needs to inform our approach to social media. So, how do social media companies make money? One word: influence. And here's what that means. Influence is the capacity to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone. Now, for social media companies, they are most interested in this third category. They're interested in your behavior. And the more they can influence your behavior, the more money they make. Now, if they need to affect your character or your development to get to your behavior, they will undoubtedly do that as well. Because the more that they can influence and predict our behavior, the more valuable we become to their customers. And their customers are other companies that want us to buy things. See, for social media companies, their platform isn't a product, and we aren't their customers. Their platform is simply a recruiting and retention tool for their actual products. Us. We, the users of social media, are the products. We're the products that social media companies are selling. They sell our eyes, they sell our data, they sell our potential purchasing power. Social media companies are getting it from us and then are selling it to the highest bidder. And again, this is not necessarily a negative thing. This has been the basis of radio and television for decades. We get local radio, we get local TV for free. If we have a TV and we have an antenna, we get to watch. And the goal of the radio station or the TV network is to get as many eyes as possible watching, because then they can charge more money to corporations looking to get us to spy their products. I mean, they're glad we like the show, and they're glad your family sits down and watches it together, but as we've all learned, the second they stop making money on the show, it's gone. So giving away a platform for free and then selling ads isn't new, and it isn't bad, it isn't wrong. Again, that's not the point of this discussion in this series. The point is this: we should be aware that it's happening, and that awareness should inform our behaviors. And see, when it comes to something as ubiquitous as social media, it seems to me that we would want to fully understand what's actually happening to make an informed decision about how we choose to engage with it and how we choose to allow our children to engage with it and what we choose to share on it. So what I want to do is I'd like to just share with you what is actually happening on social media platforms. And then I'd like to share with you why it matters, especially for those of us that call ourselves Christians. And again, this isn't to dissuade you from using social media. We use it as a church. We love social media. But rather, to encourage all of us to ask a bigger question: how are social media companies trying to influence us? And what are they trying to influence us to do? Well, let's think about it logically. If social media companies make money selling to corporations the ability to market to us, wouldn't it stand to reason that the more time we spend on their platforms, the more money they can make? So do you know what the number one goal of all social media platforms is? You know what they're all designed to do? Keep us on the platform. And not passively. They are actively creating new ways to keep us coming back to their platform. There's a science journalist out there that's been studying this extensively. Her name's Catherine Price. And she puts it this way about social media companies. She says, in order to maximize the amount of time we spend on our devices and on their platforms, designers manipulate our brain chemistry in ways that are known to trigger addictive behaviors. Now, you may be wondering, well, what does that mean? Well, there's a chemical in our brain. It's called dopamine. Dopamine is released whenever a certain activity produces a good result that our brain wants us to repeat. Think exercise, when you eat, when you're kind to someone. These all produce dopamine in most people. It's a reward that our brain gives us to induce us to keep doing that behavior in the future. It's why many people say they just feel better after they exercise. Well, app engineers, specifically social media engineers, have learned to create content, notifications, etc., to induce our brains to release dopamine, which means that our brains learn that going on a social media platform will reward our brain in some way. So that means we start to crave it. And once we're on the platform, they don't want us to leave, which is why, and maybe you've never thought about this, but have you noticed that there are no stopping cues on social media? Now, maybe you're not familiar with that word, so let me explain. A stopping cue is simply a signal that alerts us that it's time to move on and to do something else. Our lives are filled with stopping cues. It's the credits at the end of a show or the end of a movie. It's when the waiter brings the check. It's when the host says, well, thanks for coming. But social media does not have stopping cues. There is no end. Have you ever noticed that you can just keep scrolling? Scroll and scroll and scroll. But that's just the beginning. Every single aspect of social media apps are created to keep us there or to bring us back by triggering dopamine in our brains. Unless you think I'm exaggerating, there's a new field of work called brain hacking, and it's designed to help tailor apps to keep us coming back. Now, one founder of a company, and I'm not kidding, his company is called Dopamine Labs said this in a 60 Minutes interview. He says, the goal is to keep people glued to an app. They do this by figuring out when the app should do something to make you feel a little extra awesome. Now, he goes on to describe how this works on a very common platform, Instagram. Now, if you use Instagram, you know that you can like posts and others can like your posts. And the assumption is that you're seeing likes in real time. So if you receive a notification at noon that Sally liked your post, you naturally assume Sally just looked at your post and she liked it. But that's not true, because programmers discovered that it was better to withhold those notifications while we're on the app. And they would hold those until the moment their algorithm thinks you're about to close the app. And then they unleash all the notifications and they say, hey, look, all these people liked your post. And this method typically leads people to staying on the app rather than closing it. And again, is there anything necessarily wrong about this approach? No, but we should know that it's happening. And it's not only happening, it has an agenda to get us to spend more time on the app. And in fact, it is designed and updated daily by engineers to induce just that behavior. And I know you may be asking, okay, so what? Social media companies, they want my attention. They're trying to get it. Why is this such a big deal? Well, I'll actually let Catherine Price answer first, because here's what she says. She says, this is a really big deal because our attention is the most valuable thing we have. We experience only what we pay attention to. We remember only what we pay attention to. When we decide what to pay attention to in the moment, we are making a broader decision about how we want to spend our lives. Now, you know what she's actually talking about? You know what she's really hammering on here? This word, influence. See, we are being influenced and our behaviors are being manipulated. Let's be honest, most of us are allowing social media companies to influence our lives unchecked and unfiltered simply because we are unaware of what's going on. And again, influence isn't a problem when we're aware of it, because then we get to decide what we do with it. And that is the real question. See, it's not simply about social media and what it's trying to do, because all companies are trying to get us to buy things. All companies are trying to keep us there. The question is, what are we going to let social media do? How much influence will we give it? In other words, I'm convinced we all need to begin asking this question. When it comes to social media, am I bringing my influence to it, or am I being influenced by it? Am I bringing my thoughts, my hopes, my dreams, my faith, if I have one, to it? Or is social media controlling my actions? See, one of those puts us in control, and one puts a company in control. One's driven by what's best for me, my family, my faith, and one's driven by what's best for the corporate bottom line. Now, look, my hope today is that as we simply become aware of how social media wants to influence us, that we can begin to make wiser choices in how we choose to engage. And over the next few weeks, is what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about how our influence on social media can actually be leveraged for what is good. And again, I know some of you may be wondering, man, what does this have to do with church? What does this have to do with Jesus? Why are we even talking about any of this? And to answer that question, I want to take you to a passage that we actually looked at pretty recently, because it's a passage that lays out the role God envisions for us, for his church. And we actually find it in Paul's letter that he wrote to the church at Ephesus. And in this letter, he was explaining the unique role that God has planned for his church and how he prepared it for that role by giving the church gifts. It's found in Ephesians 4. And here's what it says. It says, Paul says, now these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors. and the teachers. And what that means is God thought the church was so important and there was so much that had to be done that he gave us gifts. He gave us the apostles. These are the men that walked with Jesus, and these are the men that wrote the New Testament. He gave us the prophets and evangelists. These are men and women that spoke truth as the church was being formed. And he gave us pastors and teachers, people who walk with us still today to help guide us as we try to turn into the men and the women that God wants us to be. Now, he continues writing, and he says this. He says their responsibility, talking about these gifts, specifically pastors and teachers, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, to build up the body of Christ. We talked about this just a few weeks ago. Our job as pastors and teachers and leaders is to help equip people who love Jesus to become more like him and to help fall in love with him. And this is our goal. We keep going until this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Now mature, that means like Jesus himself. Now, this is a lifelong goal. And it's our job as your church to do everything we can to train and equip you to become like Jesus. And to help us know what this actually looks like, Paul gives us a little more explanation. He gives us a picture of what we are moving towards. And here's what he says. He says, once we're mature, then we will no longer be immature like children. Now, look. Paul's not insulting children. What he's basically saying is, as we grow, as we are equipped, we will become more mature. We will be more aware of the world. He's not insulting children. He's just stating a reality. Children are trusting. Children believe whatever they are told without questioning it and without follow-up. Look, my 4-year-old nephew believes that I can make a quarter disappear. And that's okay. He's a child, and I'm not going to take advantage of him believing that. But we all know as children grow and as they mature, they learn judgment. They learn discernment. And what Paul is saying is that as we mature in Christ, we should as well. So that, he keeps going, so that we won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. I believe if Paul was here today, he would say tossed and blown about by every wind of new technology. He can say technology for teaching, because here's what he's saying. He's saying mature Christians will be aware of the voices that are trying to influence their behaviors. They won't immediately believe everything they read. They won't immediately believe everything they hear. They will measure it against the truth that they know about their Savior, and they will measure it against the gifts that he's given of his word, his Holy Spirit, and his church. And then just to hammer the point home, Paul adds one more line when he says this. He says, we will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies that are so clever that they sound like the truth. No. Here's what Paul's really saying. He's saying mature Christians will not be influenced without their permission, without their say-so, without their agreement, without their buy-in. It doesn't mean we don't engage. It means we do so on our terms. And what are our terms? Well, Paul tells us. He says, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Now, see, Wellspring, this is the goal. That even as we engage with social media, that we speak truth in love and that we grow in maturity. That we will be fully aware of what is and what isn't, fully aware of the pitfalls it contains. Now, is that easy? No. Is it what Jesus wants? Absolutely. And that's why we're talking about this topic. And it's why we need Jesus. And it's why we need his church. And it's why we need his people, so that we won't be tossed about, so that we won't be influenced when people try to trick us, but instead, we will speak the truth in love like Jesus. Now, I know that it may sound like I think social media companies are out to manipulate us into spending more and more time on them, so that they can continue to make money off of us. And you're right. I do think that because that's exactly what they're doing. But again, that's how the economic system we live in works. And that's okay as long as we are aware of what's going on. We know that Ford is going to try to get us to buy a Ford. We know that AT&T wants us to think their network is best. But it's different with social media because they aren't selling a product. They are recruiting a product. And they want to retain a product because we are the product. Our influence, our information, our spending dollars, they give advertisers the ability to speak directly to us. And look, as long as we're aware of that, we can navigate how we engage. And that is what I want you to think about this week. Look, we're just starting this series. And I know we still have a lot of ground to cover, but this week, here's my challenge. Simply observe your engagement with social media. Just observe how often you check it, when you check it, how long you stay on, and how you feel afterwards. And as you do, ask this question. When it comes to social media, am I bringing my influence to it? Or am I being influenced by it? That's the challenge. Simply observe this week. And then come back next week. Because we'll pick up right here. And next week, we're going to learn how to begin to choose to bring our influence to it. And for those of us that call ourselves Christ followers, how to begin to bring the biggest influencer we have in our lives, Jesus, to the largest platform we've ever had. Let me pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just love you so much. And God, we are so thankful for the gift of technology, and we are so thankful for the gift of social media and for the voice it gives us and for the platform it gives us, Father. But Lord, may we learn to see with eyes open what is happening. May we become aware of the influence that is being injected into it. And as your people, may we grow in maturity. May we grow in wisdom so that we can learn to leverage this platform for your Son. Thankful for him, and it's in his name we pray.